Welcome to the Mic'd Up Show, our favorite season, season four, coming at you, the ultimate hub where the hidden stories behind mortgage industry come to life. And as we say, where every mortgage has a story. I'm Michael Keller, and alongside me is
Michael Zhao here in San Diego.
And we're going to dive deep into the entrepreneurial spirit, strategic insights, and breakthrough innovations that build the world's greatest mortgage companies. So whether you're advancing your career, as we always say, we give you insight to what happens at these conferences, the type of people that go to these conferences, and in hopes that someday you end up at these conferences and run into us. We show you the breakthrough innovations, again, that help you scout for industry leaders, explore opportunities in fintech and prop tech. You're in the right place. So get ready to unlock the story behind every mortgage. Let's dive in. I have actually, before we start, an amazing story wearing one of our sponsors and heard that one of our guests told their head of IT to go up to their booth. So I think what we're doing is reaching the audience. And speaking of reaching the audience, one of the largest growing audiences out there is NAREP. And today we have two very active members in it that are here to give us some more insight, because as this every year changes, I think people need to be reminded of the power and the people in their company that should become part of NAREP, how to become involved. And appreciate both Alex and Rick coming on today. Can you guys, because I'm at a conference right now, can you guys talk each about the first time you attended one of these conferences or local events, and what it felt like, and what it felt like leaving it, the experience, so that others that maybe haven't done it yet can know that feeling or maybe be motivated to experience that feeling?
Absolutely. Rick, you want to go first? You want me to take it?
Sure, you go first.
I probably have a little more history with the NAREP organization than Rick does. I attended the very first event that they threw here in Las Vegas. I'm based out of Las Vegas, back in 2001, if you can believe it or not. Bahama Breeze, there was probably about 40 or 50 of us in the room. And that message just resonated with me when it was delivered by our past local president, Felix de Herrera, back in the days. And I've just been involved ever since at, you know, one level or another. And obviously right now, a little more engaged in it and excited to see what the future of NAREP is.
So I believe my very first NAREP conference, I had to quickly Google it just to make sure, but Juan Martinez was president of the organization. I believe it's 2012. Is that about right, Alex?
Mm-hmm.
So my very first conference was in Washington, D.C. And the only memory I have is they did this panel discussion with all these different banks, like Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, and Juan Martinez was the president. And I just remember him yelling at them, saying that like they're approaching the industry wrong, and this is a realtor. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool. I like seeing stuff like this. And I'm sure it was a great panel, but just going to that, it made me see that there's a bigger world out there of top producers, mega producers that you only see on TV or you hear about in your marketplace, like, oh, so-and-so is a big producer. But going to these conferences, you get to see them firsthand and you get to touch them and ask them questions. And especially an organization like NAREP, is they'll answer and they'll give you great advice because they want to see you level up and you make it. And that was just blew my mind that these type conferences existed. Now, fast forward, 13 years later, like it's common, right? Like I'm used to it, but that was my first experience. And I push people to go to these conferences, but also, you know, to get out of their comfort zone and network and connect, because you're not really going to learn the skills or improve if you go to the conference and just sit in a corner by yourself. You have to network and connect.
For those of our listeners that don't know what NAREP is.
National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It's actually a little bit different than your average Mortgage Bankers Association conference, because unlike the MBA, where you're there to network with other mortgage leaders, the actual NAREP conference is there not only for mortgage, it's also for the realtor community as well. Wouldn't you agree, Alex?
100%. I'm sorry, if I could just kind of touch on that just a little bit. So,
yes, please.
As a mission to empower the real estate professional, right? The professional that services that Latino consumer as an end result. And so we do that through providing opportunities, through events, through educational seminars, through networking opportunities, through advocacy that really make an impact and a difference in our local communities. But the core of everything we do is that individual member. And we've got about 58,000 members in our database that are pretty active on a year-to-year basis.
Wait, how many people were at your first meeting in 2002? 40?
I'd say about 40, tops 40. Yeah.
And you just said that there's 58,000 in your database now. I mean, you talk about not only exponential growth, but exponential reach to the entire Hispanic real estate community. Right now, actually, and there's always the need for participation when it comes to getting to be inside of the industry, whether it's in real estate or mortgage. But, you know, we last year we had our issues with NAR, and we've had mortgage issues and inventory issues over the course of the last 2 years. I think that one of the things that people lack actually is the proper amount of networking in any trade group for that matter, actually. Rick, for you as the as a sales professional, as if it's okay for me to say that, could you speak to the networking and how it's important not only for your business but also for the Latino community to actually rise up to be together as a community, to not just for the sake of referrals, not just for the sake of doing business, but actually come together as a community, because I'd like for you to speak on that, if that's okay, Rick.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, there's multiple answers to that, the power of networking, right? For me personally, everyone's in different journeys of a career. Everyone's in different seasons. There's a professional that's trying to grow their business. So for going to a networking event like that, like NAREP or any type of networking event, if you want to grow your business, like, what do you have to do? You have to prospect, to make calls, to make dials. You have to get connected. Well, one of my best prospecting ways I learned from early in my industry from getting coaching was, instead of cold calling, why don't I reach out to somebody I know and ask for referrals? Like, Michael, you're in the industry. Can you connect me with three realtors like you, right? Well, if I want to do that, like, I can only do that so many times in a day. If I want to massively scale that, I can go to a networking event where the room is filled with many top producers, connect with a guy like Alex and say, dude, take me around the room and introduce me to everybody you know. Which I've done before. And now in my current season of life, that's one of my focuses at these current events. I'll seek someone out. Like, Michael, if you came to your first event to San Diego, my mission would be to connect you with at least 20 people. I want to connect you with everybody I know, because the more I can connect you, the more that you can help connect others, and the bigger the snowball we create. Right. But what's also another part of that, and, you know, part of the mission, a part of the Hispanic, is that we're going to be connecting with other top level professionals. So there's certain things that you're going to learn through doing it, through experiences in your business. But if Alex is at a level in his business where he's several years ahead of me, connecting with him, masterminding with him, he can give me some tips to skip a year in challenges, skip a year in potential problems I may have in my business I haven't experienced yet, because he already has. And those are many of the conversations I have now with the NAREP. We have conversations like that with guys at my level, but then it's important for guys like Alex and us to help those new members that show up and connect them with mentors or provide them the tools to be successful, because we've made it. We got to send the elevator down for the next guy. And that's just something we're super passionate in the Hispanic community. And it's shown by some of the programs we've developed, such as the NAREP 10 and the Hispanic Wealth Project, where we teach not just our members, but our Hispanic community 10 disciplines on how to build wealth.
With all the news going on right now of Rocket acquiring Redfin and the Super app, I noticed a lot of that commercial around it, a lot of the next steps around it are not multi-language, or it is multicultural, that their commercial was very impactful and emotional. But as far as language goes, it was very, you know, didn't really touch on what you are all about. How would you say people can use the membership now? Because I think it's now more important than ever, line in the sand, that real estate agents and loan officers, and even at the higher level, brokers and lender owners need to start working closer together, because the others are starting to do it. Does your environment, your conferences, it seems to me like it's a scalable way, or at least an open way to have that dialogue. Has it changed any mindset at leadership on what you're going to start doing, or is it still too fresh, this latest move?
So Mike, that's a great question. And I think from a leadership perspective, you're always evaluating, you're always anticipating what could possibly happen. But I would say this, that, you know, in the industry, and I've been around for 25 years. I was a real estate broker and ran a very large company. I've built mortgage companies across the United States. I've built companies outside of the United States. And there's always threats that are going to come, you know, come in front of you. I think as a sales professional, as a broker, as a leader, as anyone in the industry, you understand that markets go up, markets go down. But what we tell our salespeople is you have to remain consistent and focus on the characteristics of foundational activities that are going to bring wealth and success. So there's mergers in the industry. There's been mergers in the industry since day one, right? And every merger that happens is going to be the end of real estate as we know it. Well, guess what ends up happening? At the end of the day, if you go out there and you do what's the most important thing, which is connect with people, you're going to be okay. If you're out there talking to people about what you do and helping and you're becoming that trusted advisor, you're going to be okay. Now, NAHRAP has kind of taken on and I don't know if this is what Gary intended. I'm sure he did. He's a very visionary individual. NAHRAP has become a way of life for, you know, 50, almost 60,000 people. And plus, and expanding and growing, it's not just an organization that you belong to. It's something that becomes part of who you are. And as part of that, there's opportunity to connect and refer and build and mastermind and create and grow. And it just becomes this powerful force to continue to drive people to success, right? Or to create opportunities for success. So are there concerns? Absolutely. There's always concerns. You have to be aware of the threats that are out there. But I would say we're going to stay focused. We're going to continue to do what we do best, which is empower real estate professionals to go out and service the community. And that's it.
Yeah, that's a wonderful answer. I would actually say a lot of where it's going, well, the noise is around conventional loans, right? And the lending environment, or that's not maybe another, the lending community has become very reliant on, rather than putting a loan together for somebody, can I get it through Fannie, Freddie, and get it to say accept? It's almost, that's my job. Like, can I get it to say accept? Where you're starting to see new loans come about that allow loan officers to get back to their roots and actually try and get people approved through bank statements, debt to service ratios, et cetera. That seems such an opportunity for your community because you have so much support of the small businesses. I remember Jason telling me, can you tell a little bit about how you guys support small business and then how you've been able to integrate it within your ecosystem to promote more real estate transactions?
So Jason Rivero is who you're referring to, probably one of the sharpest minds when it comes to DE&I and business and consulting. Just a wonderful individual. If you get the opportunity, please have him on here again. I saw his last show, and he is the expert at that.
He's awesome.
I would say, yeah. NAHRAP is the largest Hispanic business organization in the country. So it creates opportunity for a lot of different industries. We also know that one of the foundations of what we do, which is the Hispanic Wealth Project, helping to create Hispanic wealth, that's achieved by just a couple of different ways. One is home ownership. We know that's the number one driver of Hispanic wealth in the United States, probably in the world. Two is business creation. Well, if you look at the demographics and statistics, you know that Latinos are out there creating businesses faster than any other demographic. When you look at home purchasing, you see that Latinos are going to be the primary driver of home purchasing over the next 10 or 20 years. When you look at the demographic that's 35 and younger, Latinos are the largest group of mortgage qualified or mortgage ready individuals out there in the United States. So when you create home ownership and stability, that creates wealth. When you create wealth, that creates investment in businesses. When you create that, it's just this snowball effect that impacts the individual homeowner, the individual business owner, the individual community, as a whole, and it just kind of spills over. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of resistance. I know right now the climate is a little bit different. But like I said, in my belief is that pendulum swings back and forth all the time. Our focus, our job, our duty is to maintain true to who we are, representing individuals that are looking to purchase homes and, you know, go out there and just have a good, ethically fun time doing it.
Mike, if I may, I wanted to add some color to the previous question related to Rocket.
Please.
Okay. So you were asking about the challenges it brings and, you know, how we're repositioning. And I remember not too long ago, we had this, I don't know if you guys remember or not, that NAR lawsuit. Yes. Really shook up the industry, right? And as that was coming down, people were panicking. We weren't sure what was going to happen. And guess what? We made it through it. But at that time, I remember the CEO of eXp, Leo Pareja, who is a previous NAREP national president and a good friend of mine, who I would not know if not for NAREP, or nor would I have access to a guy like that. So I sent him a text and I'm like, hey, I just saw that you spoke on this NAR lawsuit on YouTube Live. I watched a lot of it. I love your perspectives. Would you be open to come and speak to my mortgage company about it? And he did it. But I think the biggest takeaway that I took from him in that messaging is, guys, NAR lawsuit, whatever happens, as real estate agents or even lenders, we have to always look at providing value. And now more than ever, we got to level up the value that we bring to the industry through the NAR lawsuit. I see this Rocket situation as very similar, but for lenders and also realtors. You know, Rocket partnered with Redfin. Their goal is to, you know, who knows now, you know, but it's possible that they're going to try to list homes and sell homes at a discounted model. We know that they have a discounted mortgage model. So what do we have to do? We have to provide so much value that the customer wants to work with us and not go through that online discount model. And we need to not just provide our value, but we need to find ways to showcase it and improve our values. And in my perspective, one of the best ways to improve your values is to network with other people that are significantly better than you, picking their brain, learning from them, executing those value skills, and then going to the marketplace with it.
Absolutely. Rick, when brilliant people get together and have discussions, great things happen because creativity is sparked. New ideas are generated, new opportunities are created. So it's a win-win situation for sure.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed in that buyout of Rocket to Redfin was that when you have organizations like that, it actually just produces more factory or manufacturer-based type of lending in real estate, which actually takes away a lot of the education and information process to the homeowner. It takes away the personal touch. I mean, you can talk to somebody on the telephone, but really, if you really bring it back into the Latino community, I mean, a lot of Latin American families, Hispanic families, I personally know, they're very family based, and that family they trust not only their family but their family friends. But most importantly, it's not just opinions that go around; it's also the information that flows. And when you have a purchase of a company like that, you may be able to put a Spanish speaking person into it. Into that cog of the machine, but I don't know if they'll be able to actually pull it off in representing the culture of education to the Latin American Hispanic community. And I think that what NAREP brings to the table when you talk about value proposition is that it brings the family component into the professionalism of the industry within itself.
Well, I was going to say, not only that, but to add to that, and I know Alex has been in the industry probably a few months longer than I have, but when you work with a Hispanic family, like if they want to get pre-approved, for example, dude, the entire family is coming to my office. It's not just the dad. It's the dad, the mom, the kids, sometimes the grandma is all coming in for that pre-approval appointment, right? Hard to replicate that online with Rocket.
And the 30 million cousins that come along with it, maybe.
Yeah. This goes back to what Mike was saying just a little bit ago about, you know, these conferences and what it is that we're doing. And that's why it's so important to attend them and to be able to connect and learn from them. We're about to unveil the 2025 State of Hispanic Home Ownership Report, And in there, it's going to give a lot of really pertinent information for real estate companies, mortgage companies, businesses across the United States. One of the things that I think it's really important that we learn from that is that they go over statistics and demographics, the makeup of the Latino community in the United States. You were just saying that your wife is from Nicaragua, right? My wife is from India, so not even Hispanic, you know, but there's Mexicans, there's Colombians, there's Nicaraguans, and we're all a little bit different. So it's important to be able to understand that there's differences even in the Latino community. There's different experiences, different backgrounds. It's important to know. And that's important to know because that's going to tailor your marketing activities to those particular groups. You may shift up a little bit if you're targeting, say, a Mexican first-generation immigrant families versus someone that, you know, from Colombia that's been here a year or two. And you're going to have to understand these nuances. And this is what you learn at these conferences, and not just the Hispanic Policy Conference or the NARA Policy Conference, but the regional connects that we do. We've kind of broken it up a little bit into smaller regionals in case you can't make it to the national events. And every single one of them, you're going to learn how to market to the Latino community. And ultimately, that leads to productivity for the salesperson and profitability, hopefully, if they do it correctly.
And our target audience is really anybody in mortgage. And I believe this is an excellent opportunity. If you're not already listening to us, tell you to attend your local and state mortgage bankers association. You don't have to be a loan officer. You as a processor, underwriter, NAREP is another great place, especially in the regional level, to expand your business. Or as Rick said, surround yourself with people that are successful and grow with them, or all boats rise with the tide, right?
Yes, great example.
I'm excited to hear Mike's next question, but before we do, we're going to go to a quick break to thank our sponsors for today.
Want to take your business to the next level? As a longtime trusted mortgage service provider, Mortgage Connect works with some of the largest lenders, servicers, and institutional investors, providing cutting-edge solutions for everything from title, closing, escrow, and default, to capital markets and risk solutions. Mortgage Connect brings it all to the table, redefining mortgage lending with innovative digital solutions that can elevate your bottom line.
It's time to use AI to revolutionize the way you do marketing in 2025. With ADM Intelligence, we have access to 5,000 consumer data points and proprietary AI technology that helps you understand who is in your database, what's the likelihood of people to do a real estate transaction, and also who they are. So for example, someone who's 50% likely to transact the next 6 months, who's a first-time homebuyer, should receive very different content than someone who is, let's say, not as likely to transact that already owns a home. And of course, our content team will provide you with all of that turnkey out of the box to market to everyone in your database. So to learn more, come find us at ICE. If you're there, we're booth number 327, or go to our website, thinkadm.com. Love to walk you through a custom demo of how AI can supercharge your marketing this year.
That's awesome that we can have ADM as one of our sponsors. Alex, I want to ask you a question about the last NAREP conference. I think it was in Vegas. You talked about it in one of your, I saw it on YouTube. And one of the things you had brought up was AI, artificial intelligence, in regards to real estate. And there was actually there was a breakout session over at the conference about it. You know, and it's, you know, we talk about AI and ChatGPT, and is it just a gimmick? Is it just something, do we have to learn about it? Alex, I wasn't there. And so can you give me a high level view of how a real estate professional, either in mortgage or real estate, can utilize AI based upon what, I mean, I know that you're not an AI specialist, right? I don't think you are, but can you give me like an overview of what you may have listened to that so that someone could say, you know what, maybe I really do need to start looking into it as a part of my business practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, I really believe that AI is that great equalizer. And I think it's going to make an impact. If you're not engaged in it and learning it and understanding it, you're going to be behind, in the industry. I think that one of the things that it does for us is that it creates efficiency and scale. It makes that a lot easier, right? I think that it levels the playing field for a lot of individuals out there. I do believe that it's going to help with marketing. It's going to help with business planning. You're going to have to master it a little bit. And I'm going to bring Rick in here in just a little bit because I know he uses it a lot more than I. But I do want to make this one point. I also don't believe that AI will replace the individual salesperson. I think now more than ever, the two skills that are going to be needed more than anything else is communication, nonverbal, and verbal, because our ability to connect with individuals and interpret the information that AI spits out is what's going to separate the top producers from the non-top producers. Here's what ends up happening is AI will spit out a ton of information, most people are not going to read through it. They don't have the capacity or the desire, whatever it is, right? It's going to be up to that salesperson, that mortgage salesperson, the real estate salesperson, to interpret those results and be able to convey that and communicate it to their clients. And I think that is where the greatest opportunity is. Rick, what are your thoughts here? Because I know you use it a lot more than
I do. I'm in AI every single day. Like my realtors laugh at me, like, Rick, here he goes again with his ChatGPT. But dude, like, if you ChatGPT is like steroids, it'll help you get to that next level so much faster. So I'll cold call realtors. I'll do a realtor consultation. I'll record that call on Fathom. I'll drop it in ChatGPT and I'll create a custom content calendar for my realtor on all the videos they should be posting on social media based on their skill set. So I'll really use it to help with my follow-up game. I'll help use it to help my branding, my marketing. I'll use it to help a realtor develop a better business plan. It's called My Listing Buddy. It's like a ChatGPT listing prompt that allows realtors to better market their properties. I even found a Chris Voss GPT that I can use to help with my scripts. Yeah, Chris Voss, never split the difference. I'm not a very smart dude. I kind of got my way through school by looking at my neighbor's test and copying the answers. And that's what ChatGPT is it's the cheat code to everything. I had a client ask me, off the top of my head, I couldn't remember how many tax returns I needed for a self-employed borrower. I was just brain fart. I typed into ChatGPT, spit it out. Like, you can use it for so many functions in your business and your life. You just have to go all in and use it.
And then this quick story real quick, if you don't mind, about Rick. No.
And the beauty about it, it remembers you. So the more you use it, you kind of program it to you. So now when you use it, it gets easier. So love it.
This is really quick here. So Rick and I are both sitting in Indianapolis. I'm 54 years old. I am not techie, right? But we're talking there and I bought him a cup of coffee and I'm like, I just can't figure out this ChatGPT and scripts. He sat down and he gave me a 10-minute class on the spot, created a post, and it was a powerful post. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. So I've been playing around with it, Rick. I want you to know you did teach an old man.
What Alex doesn't know is the only reason that post blew up was because I added him as a collaborator and he has such a big audience.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the exact use cases for ChatGPT. It really is like follow-up, notes, conversion, details, it's steroids. But I do agree with you, Alex. I don't think it's going to replace the salesperson.
No.
Because I think it's going to start to jump the shark. You know, like when a great show hits season 4, and I think the way it talks, slowly we're being programmed and we're starting to figure it out. And it doesn't really take a stance on much. So it'll educate you, let's say, on DTI. Constantly, hey, you can do up, blah, 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 like this repetition. It never tells you bad news. Like, your DTI is too high. That truck, you shouldn't be buying that Range Rover. Like, it's real advice that it never really gets to. Whether they tweak it there, I don't know. So I think it's really a great technology because it's going to help you in so many ways, but I don't see it replacing any salesperson.
Yeah, you know, the conceptual idea to the first-time buyer that may be a Latino, that has a Latino background, the concept of money is easy to understand. You have it, you earn it, and then you either invest it and you spend it, but then how to invest or how to spend actually becomes somewhat challenging for some of the families out there. How do you get someone to wrap, you know, if you use AI, there's really not much emotion to it unless you as the salesperson add emotion to it in itself. And with fiscal literacy being forefront, not for all cultures, but really for the Latino culture, there's more immigrants coming in, and even first and second generation, you know, what you learn about finance and money, you learn from your parents and your grandparents. How do you bring that message in NAREP or through NAREP and through your network? How do you bring that into the home ownership process to the Latino community? They may still fear banks, by the way. Even they may be second or third generation, but they grow up in to either fear money, or they may not say it, but they do fear financial literacy. How can you bring more of the education in NAREP to the real estate professionals in that network so that the Hispanic community can enter into that?
I'm chomping at the bit to answer this question. So when NAREP started, our goal was to advance sustainable Hispanic home ownership. Well, as we did that, we recognized that there was a huge gap in our community building wealth and giving them that financial literacy. So we developed the Hispanic Wealth Project. And this project was to help more Hispanics become wealthy and become millionaires. Well, part of that Hispanic Wealth Project, we developed the NAREP 10 disciplines. And we have NAREP 10 certified trainers that teach on these 10 disciplines in the community, educating the community on these disciplines. And you can Google NAREP 10 disciplines. Many of these disciplines are very common and common sense to many of us that grew up with, you know, wealthy parents. But in the Hispanic community, like my parents specifically, worked multiple jobs. They knew nothing about wealth. If they had money, they spent it. So that's where we felt a huge need for these NAREP 10 disciplines. So I don't know how much time we have. You want me to go over each discipline or keep it the high level? So discipline number one, have a mature understanding of wealth and prosperity, because the one with the most toys usually loses. Very simple. Stop spending all your money on toys. Number two, be in the top 10% of your profession, because being good is not good enough. If you're not in the top 20% of your profession, you're not even in the business, right? 20% of the people are doing all the work. So all we're saying is be in that top half of the people doing the work. Number three, live below your means and be ready for the next recession, because downturns are part of the regular economic cycle. Number four, minimize debt, because it's the biggest enemy of wealth. Number five, invest at least 20% of your income in real estate and stocks, because they are the best and safest way to build wealth. Number six, know your net worth, including the value of your business, because you can't improve what you don't measure. Number seven, be politically savvy, because policy matters. Number eight, be physically fit, because wealth without health is meaningless. Number nine, be generous with people who are less fortunate, because philanthropy feeds your heart and spirit and gives more purpose to your work. And number 10, this is probably the biggest for our community, be active in the lives of your family and children, because family is central to who we are.
So I want to approach that question, and thank you. That's exactly, I think, what needs to be done. But I want to approach it from a little bit different angle. And I want to take you back to early in my career, early in the 2000s. You know, I was a real estate agent here in town. I worked with a lot of Latino families. And I remember going to one particular family's house, and they were getting ready to buy. I mean, it was a house that was maybe like 160, 170,000 Latino family, a little bit older. And I was early in my career, so I didn't pre-qualify. I just showed up to the house, right? And, you know, we were talking, and I go, well, how are you going to come up with a down payment? You know, you have your bank statement. And they said exactly what you said, Michael, is we don't bank. I go, where do you keep your money? And they go, under the mattress. And they took me to it was a one bedroom place under the mattress. And they had something like $100,000 under their mattress, right? Well, obviously to me, that was no good, because you can't just pick it up and pay, right? So it was a very slow process with them, to get them to understand that the banking system here in the United States was safe, that it wasn't from the country that they were coming from. And I think in order to do that, guys, there's a couple of things. First, it's that trust. We have to become that trusted advisor, right? And then it's relating money to terms that they understand, right? So relating it to, you know, if your mortgage payment is very much like your monthly rent payment. The banks here are safe and secure. You have to use examples of other individuals that have gone through what they've gone through, right? This particular couple, they were older, ended up, you know, putting their money in an account. They seasoned it for a while. They were able to purchase their first home. And then they went on and purchased like three or four more homes from me, right? It's all patience, persistence, and education. And that's exactly what NAREP teaches. It teaches all of our members to become that trusted advisor, right? That word trust is so important. And then as we do that, you know, through the educational panels that we provide at our conferences, those empowered professionals, mortgage and real estate, go out and represent their clients in a very ethical way and become that advisor, and they can guide them to understand that. I wanted to quickly, I know we're running out of time here, but I wanted to give you guys this $1 million idea, all right? This is for any mortgage person out there, okay? And this is really, really important. This is why you need to attend the Hispanic Housing and Homeownership Policy Conference.
There's going to be— And listen to our podcasts and our video, because we give out million-dollar ideas now. I'm loving
it. I love it. And I do listen to your podcast, just, you know, ever since you sent me the link. So there's going to be a panel there that's going to teach you, or teach anyone that's there, how to take that state of Hispanic homeownership report and convert it into productivity and profitability. So Let me give you the brief overview of that, okay? Back in 2008, when I was president of NAR up here in Vegas, we took the data from that particular report. It wasn't established, but the data. And we broke it up into four sections. And I want you guys to write this down, and whoever's listening. First is demographics, okay? You have to understand who is in the country, Mexican, Colombian, Nicaraguan, and understand that everyone's a little bit different. Two, Michael alluded to just a little bit ago that you have to understand the cultural characteristics of how they make home buying decisions. What are their challenges? What are their obstacles? You have to understand that in depth. Three, you have to understand how to market to them. And so you to market. And then four is the most important for all of our mortgage partners on here. It's the resources that your particular company or that your services can provide to that client to help them overcome everything that I just spoke about, whether it's a down payment assistance program, whether it's a FHA loan, a conventional loan, whatever it is that you specialize in that can help alleviate their barrier to home ownership. And if you could take that class or those topics and start educating realtors, I promise you this, you're going to make a lot of money. We've done it. We've proved it. It's worked time and time again, but it takes a little bit of work and a little bit of effort. Mike, you know that's the people that work are the people that you know, survive long-term in this industry.
What I'm finding, and I couldn't agree more, is you got to take a little bit of time out of your day to take a step back and look at those four items, because you can't see the picture if you're in the frame. So when you're working every day, it's hard to take a step back and see that. I think a great example is just how much older the first-time home buyer is getting. I don't know what it is in your community, but in America in general, it's 38 years going on, actually 39 years, probably by the midway through this year. But when you hear people on stage, when you hear people on your LinkedIn, they talk about first-time home buyers like they're 23 years old, right? The number one buyer right now in America is 63 years old. First-time sellers, there's a lot of first-time sellers that are in their 40s, and we talk about them like they're in their early 30s. So if the big one there is, how do you market to them? You can't market to a 40-year-old talking to them like a first-time home buyer, like they just got out of college and got a great job. It's not matching. So I think that's where it's so important, because people are going to have so much wasted energy because there is so much more competition out there for the digital borrower. And so how do you get through that and get the one that wants that one-on-one communication, wants the better value, like Rick talked about? I think starting with those four is very easy to follow. So thank you.
You know, Mike, when you talk about marketing, I think you got to be really specific about who it is that you're targeting as well, too. And one of the things that I love about the time and age that we live in is that social media and TikTok and Facebook and Instagram have made it so much easier for you to get your brand, your message out into the community and to have people identify with you, you know, at a faster pace. I absolutely love what you just said, is that, you know, we need to understand who our market is, and then we have to go out and target that market a little bit, you know? And if you're talking to someone that's 63 years old, that conversation might be a little bit different than someone that's 27 years old or that's 21 years old or 42 years old. So you really got to give that a little bit of thought.
And put yourself in their shoes. So if you have mm-hmm. a first-time homebuyer lunch and learn seminar, you're probably better to say first-time homebuyers in their late 30s seminar, right? Because those people are going to be doing a lot. I have a lot of friends, and you know, that's really around my age group, but a lot of people that didn't buy a property are very insecure about saying that. They realize that they should have bought it. Obviously, housing values have been up exponentially since they've been 30 years old, and they feel like they've missed the boat, and they feel a little bit lost. And then if they hear, oh, first-time home buyer in their 20s is going to go out and get it, they feel even more insecure. But that is the age that does buy. That's the age that should have the money to at least understand the value that you should still buy in this market. You didn't miss the wave. You're not going to buy it and then all of a sudden see a crash. So I couldn't agree any more there.
As we transition from first-time buyers, there's a lot of actually still generational wealth in the Latino community. There are still, you know, you have parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, whatever, that own real estate in the United States currently. And then this generation of 20 somethings and 30 somethings are like, oh, I don't know how to afford it. I don't know. I can't do this. I can't do that. And Alex, you brought over an example like, oh yeah, you know, where's the money? And they reach into their mattress and they got $100,000. And I'm not, you know, I recently saw this here in San Diego. Still, people who don't trust the banks, they don't have it in crypto, and they have a Costco can with $100 bills inside of it. Even still here in San Diego. How do we speak to those who they don't feel like they can qualify, but actually they do? And, you know, the non-QM sector, I mean, the whole, you know, you can still prove it if you just deposit your money in your bank account. I mean, there's still an underserved community in that one. And with the Latino, with this Hispanic Wealth Project, I appreciate that. I actually didn't. I may have heard about it in the past, but I didn't hear about it before. How does someone go to, I pointed the website in our LinkedIn page over here, but how does someone learn more about the Hispanic Wealth Project? Are there other informationals other than that one page?
Yeah, so we actually have NAREP 10 certified trainers that you can book to come and speak. I'm one of those.
Yeah.
We have like a couple hundred across the country.
Wow.
I was about to promote you too, Rick, but you did a good job. So.
Yeah. What would be as we come up here at the end of the show, what would be some entry points to people that want to get involved, or what do you typically see as reasons people are right on the edge, but haven't come to an event that you could tell them to bring them in and be part of it?
So I that's a great question too, Mike, and thank you for that. I think a lot about this because obviously part of what I do for NAREP is try to get that message out to engage individuals to come into the organization just to check it out, right? Here's what I would say is the Latino community, Hispanic community, what is it, a 3 something trillion dollar industry, right? Bigger than most GDPs of most countries. It's an exciting opportunity. And if you're a sales professional in any industry, but particularly the real estate mortgage industry, this is the demographic that if you want to sustain long-term in your career, that you're going to have to include into your business plan, right? And we've been doing this for a long time. We understand how to market to them. We understand how to communicate, connect with them. The programs that we have within the organization are just, no one else can compare, right? So I would say that, check us out, you know, come and attend an event, give me a call personally. I'll always pick up the phone or text back, ask questions, connect with local chapter presidents who are always there to help and serve. Call Rick, follow his, Instagram and podcast and all that stuff. He's a lot more handsome than I am. So, you know, there's a lot more followers than I do. Just be curious about it, so. Who was it that the coach that said be curious on, was it Prime or Netflix?
Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Ted Lasso. Yeah. Be curious. Ask questions. Get involved. Tap into this behemoth of a market. The Latino community isn't going away. We're going to be here to stay for a long time. And like I mentioned earlier, we are the largest demographic when it comes to home purchasing. And we're going to be running and influencing the industry for a long, long time. And we need you. I mean, at the end of the day, come and share your talents with the organization as well, too, because then it's a win-win situation.
Well, thank you. Any final thoughts, Rick, hearing what Alex had to say? Anything to add?
No, I think he hit it perfect. Like, I don't know if I can top that. Just like I said earlier in the call, like it's an opportunity to network with, people that are better than you in lots of different areas of the industry. And like, what better way to get access to a crowd like that?
Well, and we appreciate you doing the 10 principles. I think that's important for any, especially the audio listeners. If you are listening on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you take in the Mic'd Up show, we ask that you subscribe, leave a comment. That really helps us. And we really appreciate it. Mike, any final thoughts to take us home here today?
Absolutely. Right now, when it comes to financial literacy, money in any culture, whether Latino, Asian, white, whatever, it's actually a fear-based mindset. And the lack of community creates even more fear, because when you have less education, you have more fear. However, the community out there, whether it's NAREP or the NBA or other professional organizations that create community, that create information, and even more importantly, create the avenue and the vehicles so that the real estate professional brings it out to the consumer, home buying, homeowner audience, so that they can have more confidence and more courage, not only for home ownership, but also about the confidence of understanding how money works. In the vehicles that the professional salesperson in NAREP can find, and you don't have to speak Spanish, and you don't have to be Latino to join NAREP, by the way. The vehicles that are presented through NAREP, however, provide not only wealth principles, it also provides community through its networking and community through the education and the expansion of local community into national community so that the word can get out for home ownership. I would encourage anybody who has not looked into NAREP or MBA or any professional trade organization, which allows for networking, although NAREP does allow realtors plus real estate mortgage professionals. It's an opportunity not only for networking, it's also the opportunity to create more confidence for your trade. You think that marketing to realtors is tough. You think that marketing to other professionals is tough, even if you're in title, escrow, title insurance, property casualty insurance. Actually, these communities are out here to network, help, provide, uplift, and support where you are in your trade and in your business. This was a great conversation. Thank you, Alex, and thank you for coming on to our show. We appreciate it, providing us with the avenues and the ways for those in the Latino community to come and network and learn about what it is that you guys represent.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this journey into the heart of mortgage innovation. Remember, every mortgage has a story, and we're here to help you write yours. If you enjoyed today's insights, please subscribe, share with your network, and connect with us on social media. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries and uncovering the stories that drive our industry forward.